Hello there. Welcome to Sons of the Double Cheeseburger. I'm Brandon. I'm here with Kevin. How are you doing today, Kevin?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
You had anything exciting going on lately? Any national elections or anything like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I got an email from the president today telling us that he had a historic victory in Alaska.
Wow.
So I'm starting to, yeah, anyway.
I'm assuming the historic part of that was it's the first time that anyone really, really thought that Alaska was the linchpin in their election campaign.
Yes. Then the next day I got one indicating that he had a historic victory in North Carolina, which I think had been declared pretty much on election night by
pretty
most.
Much. So, yeah.
For him. So.
Just a query. Did either of those invite you to give money?
I think I've talked about this before, that I put myself on his text list because I wanted to see.
Yeah.
I still get 12 to 15 texts a day.
Well, there's debt that's got to be retired, man. So the grift is alive.
Well, and then I read an interesting story about this, that the fund now that if you donate as a follow-up to these, that's all going to... I think 70% is going to a Donald Trump super PAC, and the rest is going to the RNC.
That's correct.
And the super PAC is really just money that he can just have fun with.
Yes.
So you're basically just giving a self-professed billionaire your hard-earned money. He's like a televangelist of...
I believe that the way that the details on that are, if you give more than $8,000... you will have given the maximum amount that you can give in a single donation, both to a PAC and to the RNC. So above $8,000, that money is going to go to this non-existent fund to deal with voter fraud.
All right. Okay. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
The best
We've got
is
a little
yet
political
to come.
Here. We've got a little political here. Sorry.
Right out of the gate, we got political.
But so, it's a new America. We're free.
We are free to do what I want any old time. Oh, which reminds me.
Oh, no, it's the soup dragons.
Oh, quote the soup dragons. So I came fresh with a topic that I wanted to ask you about today because I was actually thinking of this while I was driving recently. I was driving and a song came on the radio and I let the song play and... at another time in my life, I would have immediately turned it off and said, oh, that is crap. Blah, blah. And I let it play. And I realized I was wrong. It's really not crap. It's fine. It's nothing wrong with it. And so I realized the thing I want to talk to you about today is I want to ask you, I want to ask each of us to talk about what's a song, a band, an album, something like that, maybe that you used to think was terrible, that somewhere along the line you realized it's fine. You don't even have to say you like it. Fine. And conversely, something that you really thought was amazing that in hindsight is not amazing.
Right.
So, I can go first if you want, or I can invite you if you got something right off the top of your dome.
No, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah. So I will tell you the song. The song that I was that I heard is Little Miss Can't Be Wrong by the Spin Doctors. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I'm going to say. In at the time that Spin Doctors came out, I think I got really... Like Spin Doctors and Blues Traveler were kind of like the... They were together. They were bundled for me. And they both felt like, I don't know, they struck me wrong at the moment that they arrived. They were a little different than the kind of stuff I was listening to. And then they were everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you couldn't turn the radio dial. And, kids, if you don't know what turning a radio dial means, ask your grandparents. You couldn't turn a radio dial without hearing the Spin Doctors or Blues Traveler. And I was just like, this is too much. I know, it's terrible. But you know what? the song's fine. It's just a, you know, it's right. It's catchy. It's he's not egregiously bad at what he's doing. Mm-hmm. The lyrics are pretty funny. And I actually read, and here's the other thing that made me, I will say honestly, the real reason that I didn't immediately turn it off, and I listened to it, I was like, you know what, this is all right, is the lead singer, Chris Barron, has a pretty warm and entertaining presence on Twitter.
Huh.
He's a nice guy, and he talks to fans. And I actually read the story, apparently this song is about a bad breakup, and... as you know, many songs are, and it's fine. It's not great, but it's not worse than what I was listening to.
Right. Yeah. No. I'll agree with you on that. And it's funny because at one point I heard a Blind Melon song on the radio.
Yeah.
And I would not have had any tolerance for that at a certain point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's really not that bad. It's a little bit different. It's kind of, it has its own little niche.
Yeah.
It was not a bad song. I'm not going to say I'm seeking it out now, probably the same way you would say about the Spin Doctors, but this is kind of a transformation that I've made in my life, and I don't know exactly when it started. It was probably like a decade or more ago. I used to look at music as very territorial.
Yeah.
I like this, ergo I cannot like this. You know, I'm with this group of people, and we listen to this music.
Right.
And I found that much of that music, I've stopped believing that music defines who you are as a person, and that there is bad music, but I've stopped believing there's music that is out of bounds for a particular type of person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That there's... It's all available to us, and it's most of it is all right. Most of it I could probably do without too,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing wrong with it, and it doesn't say anything bad about anybody that they would enjoy something.
Right.
I feel like that's one of my regrets growing up is that fell into that territorial view of music, that I didn't ever listen to Led Zeppelin or the Rolling Stones or ELO or any, you know, even like a lot of classic rock. I actually enjoy a lot of that stuff now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's good music. Now, some of it's terrible, sure, but there's a lot that's really good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? You know, I don't know if my life would have been better if I'd listened to Led Zeppelin from the, you know, junior high on, but I have to imagine there's some ways in which I kind of had a closed mind that did not serve me as well as an open mind would have.
Right. Right. So one of the things I'm going to do here, if people are listening to this on Spotify, we're actually going to throw in this song, and we'll let you listen to it in case you've never heard it. And if you have heard it, then we'll let you listen to it anyway. If you're not listening on Spotify, you're going to get an alternate version of the podcast that doesn't have that song included, but you could go look it up if you want.
I will also admit here,
yeah,
I've never admitted this to anybody. I have always liked the song The Hook by Blues Traveler.
Wow. That is quite an admission. All right. I have to admit, see, I don't know one Blues Traveler song from another. So we'll include that song as well.
Yeah, I mean, you'll know that one. You'll be able to distinguish that one because that was probably their one really big hit.
Is that the one where he plays the harmonica?
It is. It is. Right. And then he also sings real fast at one point, right? Yeah. So if you hear one of those, a song where he does that, you'll know that's the one.
You all know that's the one. Okay. Because the rest of them are all different than that.
Correct.
In the rest of them, he plays a hurdy-gurdy. And
honestly, I think I've only heard part of one other Blues Traveler song in my entire life.
Seriously? Well, and that's possible.
It didn't have the hook. It didn't bring me back. So it was just one of those things. And I think that's something that we you know, can mention here, is that I think there are songs that are always outliers, right?
Sure.
Like, I like a song by Kelly Clarkson. Okay. That everything about the song should offend me. It's bad philosophy. I'm not even going to say what it is, but I like it. All right. So be it. And I think it's one of those things where traces back to having kids. Because my kids don't listen to the same music I do.
Right.
And I've had to listen to other music, and some of it has been absolutely terrible, in my opinion. But I've come to realize it's for the most part, it's just music.
Sure.
It's not hurting anybody.
No.
You know? It.
No. You're right. But it feels like, especially when you're young, and this is part of it, we're old now. I think when I was young, it felt like music was so defining.
Well, yeah,
it encapsulated who I was, and I felt like when I didn't know how to emote or how to say something, that the music was doing that for me.
Right, there are things like music and literature that do that.
Yeah.
At a certain age where you really are still trying to figure out who the heck you actually are.
Mm-hmm. So, you're back now. We've let you listen to Little Miss Can't Be Wrong by the Spin Doctors and The Hook by Blues Traveler. You're here on Sons of the Double Cheeseburger, where we play the hits. And so it's funny. The other thing you mentioned, like you were talking about some of the groups you didn't listen to when we were younger, like ELO and Zeppelin and some classic rock and stuff like that. And that leads me over to somebody that I thought was amazing when I first heard them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm realizing, I came to eventually realize that part of the reason I thought they were amazing is that I knew so little of music history when mm-hmm. I first encountered them.
Mm-hmm.
So again, when I first encountered the band I'm about to tell you about, early 20s. And or maybe late teens still, and about the only like old music that I knew was Motown,
mm-hmm.
and jazz, and
Neil Diamond,
Righteous Brothers, right?
Stuff
our parents were listening to, and some of the classic rock that our dad would play in the car when I would drive. We'd drive places, right?
But he didn't have an exceptional taste in music.
Oh, he did not have exceptional taste. He's not listening because he doesn't know how to work a podcast. So
he had multiple Meatloaf albums on cassette and 8-track.
Mm-hmm. I think it's amusing that you said had, because I'm pretty sure he still has them. But the other thing is amazing to me. Like some of the stuff that I thought was already very old at the time that we were listening to it in the mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
Was stuff by bands like the Guess Who that got released in like the early 70s.
Well, yeah, or I mean, a lot of that stuff was at its oldest maybe 10 years old.
Yeah, a lot of it was less than that.
We'd hear this really old stuff from like the mid to late 50s.
Yeah.
And in the end, that was still only 20 years old at the time.
Right, right.
Whereas now, you have, think of something that's 20 years old now.
I don't think I know anything that's 20 years old.
Well, that's right. Like the stuff, I mean, obviously the stuff that we listen to, the contemporary music we listen to
mm-hmm.
in our teens and shortly thereafter is now all like 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nirvana is classic rock.
It is.
Pearl Jam is classic rock. Not that those were our favorite bands, but those are, you know, those were the big...
Yeah, you know, right. Right. So I realized that I didn't know a lot of, like, again, classic rock and stuff from that era. So the band that I thought was just doing something fresh and amazing when I first heard them was the Black Crowes.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? They were not. They were not. I would recommend that you just go find yourself an Allman Brothers album instead. Because all they were doing was counting on a whole generation of people that hadn't listened to the Allman Brothers yet. So, So anyway, that's, and again, it's just, as I realized, as I, there was another person that I was going to actually put in here. I went back and forth because I'll tell you the second artist that I thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think that person's output is better than the Black Crowes, which is why I led with the Black Crowes. But the original one I was going to say was Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, Lenny Kravitz crossed my mind very early on when you said this.
Yeah.
It feels very pedestrian to me now mm-hmm. when I hear it. I'm not... Lenny Kravitz is far more talented than I am. But
well, like on those first couple of albums, he like did everything. He played all the instruments, he recorded. Great, that's super talented, but you're just recycling stuff.
Well, it was pop music.
Yeah.
It's just the guitar version of pop music at the time. I'm not going to say there's anything really wrong with it.
Right.
But, you know, it does not provide anything particularly...
It's not quite as thunderous as I thought it was.
It's plodding. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like, pick up the tempo, man.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, those are the ones
that... Try a different chord.
Those are the ones that I thought of. So what do you got? Something that's not as good as you thought it was at one point.
Yeah, and I want to be clear that it wasn't like I was a longtime fan of this group or anything.
Yeah.
But there was a period of time where I think it was of a moment of kind of emotional development where I think a lot of young men go through this stage. And like you start, you read like Siddhartha, and you maybe hear of what philosophy is, and you start to listen to The Doors, and you're like, "Whoa, man! It's a whole new universe. It's expanding my mind."
That's right.
Oh my gosh! And then a couple weeks later, you realize I bought The Doors, man, and now what am I gonna do with it? I ordered this from Columbia House, and it's not even here yet. I don't even want it. But I think that's one of those things. And I've, you hear a door. What's actually I find interesting is we have like Sirius, and there's all sorts of different channels. But I have not ever heard a door song, and I listen. I'll move around to all sorts of different. Things where you would think you might hear something like
that's the Doors.
You hear
contemporaries. Point.
That you never hear any Doors.
No,
never.
You don't.
I never hear the Doors. There's a local radio station, 95.9 The River, that's just run right here in Aurora.
Yeah.
And it's a basic classic rock, and they move some stuff into the 2000s. You know, it's rock music.
Uh-huh.
They've never played the Doors that I hear.
Yeah.
It is the sort of thing that I think it's kind of like that early starter kit to there is something more beyond just my own individual thoughts.
Yeah.
And but then you realize, so you think, because you're just being exposed to that, and you think, wow, this guy is amazing. What has he figured out here? And then you realize, he didn't go that deep.
No.
Once you actually start to learn some things on your own, you realize, no, not that big a deal.
Yeah.
You know, there are books like that too. I kind of feel like Catcher in the Rye is that sort of book.
Yeah, it probably is. It's pretty deep if you're of a certain age.
Right. I don't know that I remember somebody in college who said he reread Catcher in the Rye every year.
Yeah.
And even by that point, I was kind of like, is there more to get out of it?
Yeah.
And I think J.D. Salinger was a fantastic writer. But I don't know that it's just one of those things that kind of catches people at the right time. It's kind of a gateway or a trigger to some greater growth and understanding.
Yeah.
But it has a place. It's not.
So I got to say, so you want to pick, because I'm going to play some music in here. I'm going to put in.
A door song? Do I know any?
Yeah.
Well, there's. Well, okay, so there's like Light My Fire, right? That's then there's LA Woman. But I feel like we should pick one that's just really horrible.
Cause here's the other thing. Here's the linkage that I was thinking about. I'm gonna put this in here for everybody. you're going to listen to Lenny Kravitz's song Believe.
Okay.
Because I realized that that's Lenny at his most Jim Morrison-like, pseudo-philosophically deep. So you're going to get a double dose there. It's a two for Tuesday kind of deal. Mm-hmm. I could pick a Black Crowes song, but I'm going back to Lenny on this one. I'm gonna find it. Okay, I don't remember the name of the song right now, so I'm not gonna say it. But we'll find you a good Doors song that is pretentious.
I'll help out that. I will say this: There was a time, at one point in my 20s. I went and saw a show that was, it was the keyboardist from The Doors,
mm-hmm.
Ray Manzarek.
Yes.
Who is really a phenomenal keyboardist.
Yeah.
It was an incredible show to witness. I also saw the drummer from Jimi Hendrix's drummer. Chaz Chandler, is that
right? Yeah, right. That was one of them.
Yeah. Incredible, too. So, I mean, that's... So, it's. I really think that we have Jim Morrison to blame for where The Doors went.
Probably true. That is likely the case. I'm looking really quick, because I wanted to see if I could find this song. Holy smokes, The Doors put out, like, 8 albums.
That doesn't seem right at all.
That doesn't seem right. Because I can't name 3 songs.
So The Doors are named after, or an allusion to, an Aldous Huxley book.
Yeah.
The Doors of Perception.
Correct.
Spot, that's on brand right there.
Uh-huh, very.
But that in itself is a reference to a quote by William Blake. So it's like third generation insights into...
Yeah, that's right.
Basic... metaphysical thought.
The song that I was thinking of that I was going to include is The End.
Oh, yeah, that...
But that's 11 minutes long. I'm not going to do that to our listeners.
It only feels like it's 11 minutes long.
No, it's actually 11 minutes long.
It's 11 minutes long, but it only feels like it's never-ending.
People are going to be like, I never stopped listening to this podcast. I'm still listening. I think, actually, I'll go with the song The Crystal Ship.
This is the end.
So, see how you're going to enjoy that.
The Crystal Ship. Stop. That's a real song?
It is. It's on that same album.
That's a terrible thing to do to somebody. Roadhouse Blues is also terrible.
Oh, gosh. All right. First 3 songs on their debut album, Break On Through to the Other Side. For which then that became like epic for them. Then a song called Soul Kitchen.
Oh, God.
Nope, not buying it, Jim. And then The Crystal Ship. And you're off and running.
Can you believe that generation, the baby boomers, somehow ended up completely destroying Western civilization?
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Who'd have guessed it?
Hey, you watch what you're saying there. They're not done destroying it yet.
Oh, wait, we have a special guest here.
Oh, no.
What?
You noticed me.
It is my daughter, Molly Woosley, one of the co-hosts of the Comedy Silver podcast.
Yes.
She has, she's freshly cleaned and has come down.
Nice.
And is writing left-handed into a notebook for some reason.
I'm trying to tell you something without interrupting, but then you mentioned
Oh, no, the interruption is the fun.
That's the whole point. Molly, can she hear me?
You might not be able to read this.
It's World Kindness Day, she said. And here we are, we've been ripping on The Doors and Lenny Kravitz.
Slagging on Jim Morrison.
I've been looking at the national days recently, and today is World Kindness Day. There's something else. Yesterday was Chicken Soup for the Soul Day, and I ate chicken soup.
Molly has a great love for looking up, you know, like, whatever day it is. You know, there's these...
Yeah.
Commemorative days, you know.
So. I have a calendar that has like 4 of those for every day.
No, did you hear that, Molly? You didn't hear that because it's in my ears.
No, I can't hear anything. It's right. Really scary.
Let me tell you, Brandon says he has a calendar that's like 4 of those every day.
See, that's what I'm looking for for Christmas, but it's sold out. The one one I found, so I'll probably find some other things.
All right,
Mr. Curtis, teacher, a teacher of mine.
Has Mike Curtis, instructor at Peaceful Pathways Montessori Academy.
There you go.
He has this calendar of like things, and there was some like potato day, and he gave me the piece of paper for it.
Calendar things like days.
He gifted it to me, and I still have it in my locker. That was like.
Would you tell Molly I would prefer if she would say he done gifted it to me?
Uncle Brian wants you to say he done gifted it to you. Here, why don't you and Uncle so Molly?
I don't know. What
Molly said. Wanted want? You and I. So we've there's been some off the air talk going on. About doing a crossover episode.
Yeah.
Crossover
with
event.
The Comedy Silver podcast. But at this point, Molly...
We don't really talk about the same
Molly,
things.
You did want Uncle Brandon and I just to record a little snippet or something, right?
Yes, for our one episode where we're talking about how y'all exist and y'all they should go listen to y'all.
What should we say?
I had a thing.
Can you say that, Brandon? I had a thing?
No!
No, but here's not what I can that. Say. Hey... I exist.
Hey. Dude.
I am fully like, hey, existent.
Because when you came and interrupted our thing, but you couldn't actually hear you through the microphone, so if you redid it, but it was like, oh, look who popped in. It's Kevin from, but you could, you know.
So, Brian, do you think we could pretend like we're just kind of dropping in and say, oh, hey, it's Kevin. Hey, it's Brian.
We drive in.
Oh, yeah.
What up, ladies?
Hey, how y'all doing?
All right.
I have it saved.
All right, this will be magical podcasting for you guys. We'll record that at the end of our after we do our episode, and maybe Uncle Brandon can send that recording, that file to Mojo.
I will do that, along with a clip from Riders on the Storm.
I don't know what you say.
Now, see, there's he was just making fun of a band again.
Riders on the Storm. Hey, yeah, this is TJ Knight's move. I don't approve of this message.
Me neither.
Whoa. Nicely done. Whoa. Coming in hot.
See, and I guess there are a couple Doors songs that if you just try and forget the fact that Jim Morrison exists, you know, they're palatable enough, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the larger element, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's why Val Kilmer got sick later on. It's because he played Jim Morrison. That's
probably it.
Probably. That would make the most sense.
That's a terrible thing to say.
I don't know.
No, not you, Molly. It's me. I said that terrible thing.
I'm telling you.
I was just falling along. I have no idea what it is.
I can't believe I said that.
It's rough.
Oh, no.
All right. So, and here comes my son. Oh, boy.
He's probably dead.
That's my son who... makes super loud noises.
Wow.
That bring all the dogs to the yard.
Wait, we have dogs now?
No, we don't have dogs. So what's up, buddy?
He's
cowering there at the foot of the stairs. All right. Why don't you two make your leave, and Uncle Brandon and I can finish this up because he is on a tight time frame.
Oh, sorry.
He has other projects and priorities he has to attend to,
it's
right?
It's junket day, yeah. Yeah, I'm for the podcast, I'm speaking to media types all around the world.
Is there anything right.
Well, he's part of the Biden transition team, mm-hmm. For podcast awareness.
I got a meeting with Ron Klain in a little while.
Is that a thing?
It's not a thing.
Oh, we have listeners in Germany, our podcast.
Molly is now bragging that she has listeners in Germany.
We have listeners in Germany and England and the U.S.,
yeah.
In four states.
How many listeners in Singapore do you have, Molly?
How many listeners in Singapore?
Zero that I know, but I haven't checked.
I'm going to let you talk to her directly.
In the last couple days. Why are the headphones so warm?
It's around my ears.
Why are your ears so warm?
Molly, you don't have an audience in Singapore?
No, I don't think so. I
it's a
look.
Shame. We do.
Oh, well, do you have an audience in Germany?
Yeah. Ireland, Canada.
Well, you guys have been going on for longer. You have way more listeners. You probably have. We only have like six listeners, But so it doesn't line up. It says we have 6 listeners, but, like, it just doesn't line up.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, you keep plugging away. The Comedy Silver is commendable. We like it. We support it.
Yeah, I don't know if you should be, but that's nice.
Hey, well, our whole podcast here has been about things that we once made an opinion of and then we realized we were wrong. So I think we're totally cool with backing your venture, because then later on we could say, well, that was a mistake.
You're right. You probably could later on anyway. It's probably needed.
Yeah, come on. You haven't, if you listen to what we're doing, you can't be doing much worse than this. So
I mean, I haven't really heard most of it, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys probably have a more consistent posting than we do.
Could be.
And you guys didn't post for like 3 months, so. I mean, we haven't either, and we've been going on for way less. We have like 4 episodes just sitting there.
A lot in the can.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
Ready for nothing.
The censors haven't listened to them? Is that what the issue is at this point?
Yes. Specific person.
Yeah.
Actually, you guys haven't listened to any other ones.
How pretentious, Kevin, how pretentious does a band have to be, or a lead singer in a band, to name an album after himself?
All right, it is bedtime.
He can't hear you.
Oh, no.
All right, goodbye, Molly.
Goodbye, Molly.
No, thank you.
Have a good sleep.
No, thank you.
I love you.
No, that's not okay.
Here. Yeah. Now, that's on record. That's good. You do know that's how people listen to our podcast, right? Is on records. What I do is I press those and I send them out to people. They play them on their record players. That might be why our audience isn't growing as fast as we hoped.
Yeah. We should rethink that.
So the question I was sharing with your daughter was, how pretentious does a lead singer have to be to name an album for his band after himself?
Oh, pretty pretentious.
The Doors have an album called Morrison Hotel. That can't have gone over well with the other guys.
Right, considering it wasn't like a band that's really just the lead singer or the chief musician.
Right.
It was like the Bob Mould Band now. He's got 2 guys that play with him for like a decade. But clearly it's the Bob Mould Band.
Right.
He writes the songs, he's, you know.
No, this would have been like if Husker Du had an album called Bob. Hey, Bob Mould Time.
Yeah, Grant Hart. Grant Hart, RV Park.
You know what? I've got to assume there is a Grant Hart RV Park now that you mention it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's Minnesota. Could be anything.
Or if the Beatles had an album called This Is the Pete Best We Could Do.
It's terrible. Did you know that the album Octoon Baby was originally supposed to be called Adam?
I did not know that.
U2, for those not in the know. The album Octoon Baby came out in 1991, 92. Named Octoon Baby.
So wait,
they were going to name it Adam, and it was going to be a naked picture of Adam Clayton on the cover.
Whew.
I mean, like kind of like in shadow. I mean, I don't think you'd be seeing his...
Little Adam?
His baseline. But, yeah.
Also, little known fact, did you know that Peter Buck's middle name is Green?
Is it not? It is not.
Oh, I almost had you, though. All right.
The Green Bucks.
Oh, boy. So, I think we've... we got to wrap this up. You know what? Let's do this. We don't always invite people to specifically interact with our episode, but hey, if you've got, you know, a band that you're thinking of or a musician you're thinking of, somebody that you want to admit to having had too lofty an assessment of originally, or somebody that you realize, you know what, this is not bad. And I didn't appreciate it first time around. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go over to our Facebook page, Sons of the Double Cheeseburger, and share that with us.
Yeah, Facebook page or Instagram. I will make sure. I've been meaning to catch up our Instagram page by putting references that we've been making throughout from previous episodes.
Absolutely.
I'm failing at that, but I will post something, and you could respond to something on there too. I know some people, maybe the gram is a little bit more appealing than Facebook. We are not going to be on Parler, just for the record.
We're not?
No.
And I would also, for the record, like to say that way back at the beginning of this podcast, way back at the beginning of the pandemic, we were talking about social networks and the idea that maybe we could get a fresh shot at a social network that was actually about community. And we referenced MeWe.
And now that's been taken over by the
and I want to be clear that I want to rescind that suggestion.
Yeah, because at the time it was not. And apparently because it was... Basically what happened was people who don't want to... Yeah, anyway, I don't have to finish that sentence. Yes, but poor MeWe, I think, has been hijacked.
Yes.
So...
Yeah.
So... I don't know. And maybe... Tell us if you think we should have a Twitter. Maybe if you think the Twitter is easy to interact with.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We want to be able to, you know, engage with our...
I'm hoping that what you'll put on the gram is a picture of the Morrison Hotel album cover.
I could do that. Sure, yeah.
So. All right. The other option is you can continue to send mail to Ogunquit, Maine, because we're leaving the post office box in Maine right now, because Maine is doing great with the virus. They actually have things under control, and so we're not going to move anything. It's just going to... The P.O. box is on lockdown with everybody else. So it's staying there, Ogunquit, Maine. It's... What was it? It was P.O. box... what number was that?
I have no recollection right now.
Just... I would say at this point, just say... P.O. Box, you know, something. Sons of the Double Cheeseburger. Find it, Postmaster, at Ogunquit, Maine, 03907. And again, they should be able to find it. Assuming they even come into the office, because they're on quarantine or something.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kevin, this has been fun.
It has been.
And you've given me some music to go back and listen to. I'm gonna go find the hook by Blues Traveler, and I gotta pull out a big hat to listen to that. Right?
Stop it! You're making fun.
I know, and I shouldn't be.
World Kindness Day.
It is World Kindness Day. We should only make fun of people that aren't here anymore, like Jim Morrison. They can't defend themselves.
True. True. Just make fun of the dead.
That's really the heart of World Kindness Day, isn't
taking
it?
Taking the high road means only picking on those who can't immediately be harmed or defend themselves.
Oh, boy. You know, well, that's what people say. And people are strange.
Oh, dear God.
All right. Until next time, Kevin. Goodbye.
Yes, goodbye. I love you. Bye-bye.
See, now you put it on record that you love me too. So I'm going to bring it right back at you. I love you too. And fair listener, I'm not even sure that I know you, but I'm glad you're listening. Goodbye.